Joined right now by another friend of the program. He is a staff writer for the Washington Post. He is Robert Klemko. Robert, it's great to have you on as well. I know you've been in Minneapolis for the last few days. Robert, when did you arrive, and how would you describe what you've seen so far?
Yeah, great to hear from you, Jim. I arrived three nights ago, so that was Friday night. You know, touchdown at 11 o'clock to support some of the other fantastic news reporters that were already here and photographers that were here, and went straight into some of the protests that were happening late that night down at the 3rd Precinct that had devolved into violence where they had set the precinct on fire. And so I've been here since then, you know, writing stories about some of the goings-on during the day and night, most recently profiled one of the activists who happened to have a connection to the sports world. It's Royce White, the former NBA first round pick, who has now become a protest leader here in Minnesota.
In fact, Robert, I was going to ask you about that, and I will in one second. It's an important part of this story. I do want to ask you this, though. You were among the writers on a piece in the Post yesterday with the headline, "Minneapolis has become a war zone." What has it been like to witness all of this?
You know, I actually covered Ferguson a little bit for Time magazine when I was with Sports Illustrated, and we had that relationship with Time and that connection. And so I was down there working on a high school sports story and contributed to that. It's very different from that that experience because, you know, the violence at night here and the protests during the day and the protests at night are all over the city. And so you had a police force that was racing to cope with these tiny uprisings, you know, in South Minneapolis, at 38th in Chicago, where George Floyd was killed, at the 3rd Precinct, at the 5th Precinct, at the Viking Stadium, at the U.S. Bank Stadium downtown, you know, on I-35, where yesterday a truck drove through a protest being led down the highway. So you have this very global sense of unrest as opposed to something that's extremely isolated to one neighborhood. And in a sense, I think that's been reflected all over the country. I mean, you saw riots and protests and activism in 2014 and 2015 in the wake of, you know, multiple police shootings and killings, but you didn't see it on the scale that we're seeing now.
Robert Klemko is joining us. Robert, a few days back, somebody emailed you and told you, quote, "stick to box scores," end quote. What was your reaction to that email?
You know, we get that stuff all the time, and even more so now that I'm writing for the Post and that's what's illustrated, because our email address is at the bottom of the story, right? So it's easy. You know, my answer to any of those people that say, you know, stick to box scores, to you or to me or to any sports writer, is that sports is politics. Sports is culture. Sports is business. Sports is law and order, crime and punishment. It's all of those things. I mean, It's almost impossible to go through your entire career as a sports writer without touching on any of those subjects. I happen to get more interested in that stuff as my career progressed, and now I'm working for the national desk temporarily covering the virus, covering these protests, covering these killings. I think we're all citizens and our interests are allowed to change, and I would never tell somebody who was a plumber that he shouldn't go vote. I mean, I would ask everybody to try to be well-rounded citizens.
Robert Klemko writes for the Washington Post. He's a friend of the program. So, Robert, you mentioned Royce White. Now, you were not looking for a sports story, but you found a story with that connection with White. I had him on this show, Robert, in mid-April. How did you first hear about this story and his involvement in the protests in Minneapolis?
Yeah, so I talked about like the global nature of these protests. At one point, we saw this group heading down Washington, which is, you know, a main thoroughfare here downtown, and they were right by our hotel, so we saw it out the window, and I just went outside and started following the group. I got to the head of it, and then everybody at the head of the group is 6'5 or taller, and this bald guy in a black suit and a white dress shirt leads this group to the middle of I-35 west, at the Mississippi River crossing, and everybody kneels, and then he addresses them, and it was just this incredible magnetic presence this guy had. And so I introduced myself, had no idea who he was. It's Royce White, you know, NBA draft first-round pick who, you know, had a cup of coffee in the in basketball, has this crazy story about, you know, this crippling anxiety disorder, not able to fly, and becomes a mental health advocate and now this activism leader in Minneapolis. So it was just, you know, pure dumb luck running into him and this group of basketball players and athletes around Minnesota that started this protest with 200 people outside of U.S. Bank Stadium a couple days ago, 3 days ago, and ended up with several thousand crossing I-35.
So, Robert, to that point, why did that march start at the home of the Minnesota Vikings? That's not a coincidence, right? Why did they choose that location to start that march?
Yeah, you know, I asked Royce that, and he said that it was no mistake. The U.S. Bank Stadium, to him, is a symbol of, you know, the oppression that minorities face in Minneapolis and abroad. He said, you know, this place was funded by taxpayer money, right? Millions and millions of dollars of taxpayer money that private corporations should be paying for themselves, not taxpayers. And how much of that money could have gone towards police reform to make sure that things like the George Floyd killing don't happen.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. Robert, as you mentioned, he's dealt with some near crippling anxiety. What's your sense as to how he is doing in the middle of all this? And do you feel like this is a one-off for Royce White, or is this place and space for him? And could he really be a leader and continue forward doing this?
Yeah. You know, I think everybody's on edge, everybody's really anxious. I mean, people without anxiety disorders are really having a hard time in all this. The amount of people I've seen crying in the streets is, you know, more than I care to. So I think everybody's having a tough time, but Royce really feels at home in this, you know, moment in history because he is so well-read and he is so interested in the politics and of it all and the economics of it all. I think he could become a leader in this space. It is going to be tough, you know, if he wants to take that nationally and try to, you know, represent and lead in other cities if he won't fly, right, obviously. But this movement, you know, characterized by Black Lives Matter in the aughts in response to all of these cell phone videos that have come online, that have appeared online of police killings of African Americans, police abuse of minorities. It's been a movement characterized by a sort of lack of a figurehead, a lack of, you know, one leader that everybody can point to. And I think that that's been by design largely. You know, it's very much a grassroots effort. And I do think that limits a little bit of the reach of it, but it also, you know, protects them from relying on one individual to carry their message.
We are talking to Robert Klemko. He writes for the Washington Post. He's a good friend of the program. Hey, Robert, one of the things that comes up when talking about the protests, you, of course, have heard this. I hear this. We all hear this. The protest and the yeah, but part of this. Like, yeah, but what about the looters? What is your response when you hear, yeah, but what about the looters?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to respond to that. You know, the one thing that Roy said that was fascinating to me was, you know, people criticize the looting and the violence, but they don't actually want to see the refined version of that political emotion, which is African Americans, minorities openly carrying guns. So that's one way to look at it. You know, I think it's an expression of rage by people that don't feel like they have a voice. And that's in no way justifying it, but I do look skeptically upon anyone who is more upset by destruction of property and, you know, hits to the major insurance companies across the country than they are about, you know, the choking death of George Floyd.
We're talking to Robert Klemko for a few more moments. Robert, you mentioned that you also have been traveling the country covering COVID-19. Let me ask you about that. How would you describe what the last 2.5 to 3 months have been like for you?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. You know, to see kind of the devastation that virus has wrought across the country. You know, not only in a health sense, but also in an economic sense, and to see communities and states struggling to strike that balance between, you know, health concerns and financial concerns. It's been depressing, to be honest with you. the stories that really stick with me are about people that were already on the fringes. You know, I've spent some time with the Navajo Nation, where 36% of people have running water, and they rely entirely on communities, you know, 1 and 2 and 3 hour drives away for fresh produce. They live in food deserts. You know, this virus has hit those communities especially hard, but it's also been inspiring to see, you know, the leadership in those places and also the outside donations that have come in to support those people. You know, I think any of us monitoring this, we all have the hope that, you know, we come out better for all of this and better connected after all of this.
He is a staff writer for The Washington Post. He is a good friend of the program, covering a lot of ground today with Robert Klemko. Robert, great to hear your voice. Always good to have you on the show. I appreciate you. And nice to get caught up, Robert. Thanks so much.
You're the best. Thanks, Jim.
You too, Robert. You are the best. Robert Klemko. All right, we will take a short time out right now.